It's muffled. It sounds like you're in a car.
Unfortunately, I am.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, Dave's on the car. Okay, Dave, welcome.
Hey, Rob.
But no, it's all good. But I think I just, you know, I just wanted to say thank you, and I sent you that email. But after our last call, we went over some strategies for that one account that we were trying to consolidate.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were prepared. I mean, and I think we had a good track record of what we've done prior. But I definitely used your word scattered.
Yeah.
And I also used the word, brought it up, who's managing your risk? Boom. And it worked like a charm. I mean, and like I said, that wasn't the only thing, but we had the other stuff. But I think we incorporated that, and it was effective.
But I think probably your practicing, rehearsing, makes everything go better. You know, we don't give enough credit for that. How much do you practice for your tennis, right?
And then, exactly.
And then you play. We just like to play.
Yeah.
We wing it too much, and when you practice like you did, and incorporate, a new drop shot, it's going to work.
Right, exactly. But it was
so good.
But it was timely. So I mean, I think just like we deviated from the the call, but I think that was more important or more valuable because I'm already implementing. You know, we've implemented a lot of this stuff already, and I think that. So today, I have two more for you to see if you can crack the code.
Okay, give me my first question always is what's on your mind. So go for it.
Well, what's on my mind? I'll let Dave answer that. But my mind is just to. Seeing the success of that last big win, and as a result, I do think just the mindset of what, going through this, it does work on the mindset. And I was also sharing some of this stuff before that meeting with Ted Durkin, who said he knows you from Merrill Lynch days.
Right.
And so he was excited that we're, going back and doing this. And it just seemed to, it was, it's just a recharge, if you will.
Great. Yeah, I'm very proud of you doing this, by the way, I'm very proud of you doing this. I think it's wonderful.
Well, thank you. And I think it's good for Dave also now to, get a flavor of what we're doing. And, he plugs right in. But Dave, why don't you tell Rob what's on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, Rob, we had a really good we had a good win, and we've had a couple solid wins over the past Rick and I have been working together for a few years now. We had a couple good wins. This was probably one of the the bigger wins in terms of a net new asset. I just thought it went really smoothly, and it seemed like the presentation was timely and put together well, and we work well together in not only when we're in front of clients but not in front of clients. So that was it was exciting for I think all across the board. I think what I'm hoping now continues is, and I know it kind of lit a little bit of a fire under Rick's behind, but I like, now stay aggressive and let's capitalize on successes and wins, and let's get that confidence, keep it rolling, and really strike it when the iron's hot. And I think that's really what I took out of it is, how can we get in front of more people, get more wins, and really boost up? Because I think, again, one thing that I've said from the start, what I want to work on is confidence and feeling like we belong in the room with certain, in this case, 5, 10, $20 million prospects. And I think this was a first very good step. And we have a couple things on the burners that I know that's on Rick's mind that we really were excited about. So we're looking for that next opportunity and really taking advantage of the momentum and the confidence.
Great. Yeah, there's nothing like winning to build that confidence in chances.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
what
I think
it's... you want to try and, you know, work yourself into these presentations so that you guys, and it's very difficult if you guys, I mean, I know you've worked together some, but it's very important to rehearse who's going to say what so you don't step on each other.
Right.
It looks like you really, you know, you make it look like it's not rehearsed. It looks so natural.
Yeah, and I think that's the good part, Rob. I do think, you know, we come across well, to be very honest with you, not being cocky or anything. And I think we do present well. And I think Dave adds a dimension because he's good at putting together these proposal type things, you know, just even our pitch book, if you will. And together, it was effective. Now, Emily just jumped in here, too. And so we
were. Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Emily.
We were just sharing with Rob about how he, you know, from our last call, mm-hmm. he helped us with some powerful words that helped seal the deal for that last. So we were talking about, you know, just what's on our mind stuff. But and I said, well, I have two more for Rob today to crack, to see if we can crack the code, because that was very good. One of them, Rob, was I think you and I, we briefly mentioned it last time. We have a meeting set up, a breakfast meeting next Wednesday. This is a current client of ours, but he's also the chief operating officer of a new biotech company that's probably going to go IPO next year. He's going to be, they're up in Boston, but he's going to be in Philadelphia. They're meeting with another biotech company that's doing similar work on genetic editing and all this other, you know, crazy stuff. But so Sam is going to meet with us just as, you know, part social, but we want to also include that as a business opportunity to get introductions to the rest of his team, his management team, because they're all going to be going through this you know, liquidity event within the next 12 to 18 months. And we've already, Sam's a good client. I know he's already an advocate for us, but it's just about, we want to say, take it to that next step to show what we can do for the rest of his management group.
All right, so the first thing you got to do is focus your attention on him and what he wants to accomplish at this meeting. Okay? But at the end, this is the time when you're going to ask the value question. Sam, what I'd like to do at this time, with your permission, is ask you an important question. Is that okay? And you go, sure. What is it? Sam, what is it that over the last several years you've been, I think, a wonderful relationship. It's important for me to know what it is that you value from this relationship. Let's say your big three takeaways from this relationship. You know, what are the three things that you value the most? And then just be quiet and listen. Right? And that's an important thing to do at the end of every session you do in person. Because it's going to tell you what it is that client appreciates. Because you may think it's one thing, but it's something completely different.
Okay.
And I like using the three because it makes them think, and it's very powerful. I've been doing this now with some other folks, and it's working. Blaine Werner, a friend of mine, called me back and told me how powerful it was. It was just amazing, the conversation that ensued. It wasn't just one thing, and then it was one thing, but it was once you get that in your hand, what you do then is talk about the opportunity and ask him if he agrees that this is a big opportunity. Right? So you say, you know, from our point of view, this is a big opportunity. Before we get into it, what do you think? Do you think it's a big opportunity? And he'll say, oh, yeah. then you say, if you were me, what would you do to make this work? How would you suggest that we be introduced?
So you, so Rob, you think put the ball in his court as opposed to suggesting a way to
listen, the number one thing you can do to make a person feel good about themselves is to ask for their advice. Why do you think I do what I do?
Yeah.
It makes me feel good every day. Because people ask me for my advice, they actually value what I have to say.
Right.
It makes you feel good.
So here's the one, again, I know that, because we've introduced our investment banking people to them, but as you can imagine, everybody on the street is coming to them for investment banking to try to do this IPO. So they're being inundated with, you know, people soliciting them to try to meet, to go over all their stuff, you know, whatever. How... I'm talking about their underwriting, you know, underwriting their IPO. So from an investment bank side.
Is that what you're after here, or are you after the individual?
No, this is the personal stuff. But I know that because Sam used to handle all those calls, and then they have a CFO now that's responsible for just fielding.
Well, we'd love, don't get me wrong, we'd love to win the IPO business because Brick would get compensated and awarded big time for that.
Yeah, but we're not sure we're in the running for that, and but we want to get. I mean, I'm saying, I would imagine the board is being solicited. I mean, not the board, but the management people are being solicited on their wealth management stuff too. So that's where, like I said, Sam is our key, right?
Right. Rick, don't unsell yourself here, okay? Don't let fear enter, okay?
Right.
You're entering into this as if you're going to win it all, and that you're making time for him. Okay? Don't be the salesman here.
Right.
Okay?
That's huge.
You want to basically say, look, we're willing to do you a favor here and spend some time with your people. How would you suggest we go about doing it? That's the mentality you've got to have going into this.
Right.
You can't come into it like a beggar.
Right. Okay, that's good. Because,
and what you say is, look, you know, we're willing to take on in the next 12 months, we're going to be taking on 4 or 5 new clients. And we think, you know, 4 or 5 new families. And we think that this would be a nice opportunity to meet some great people. We want to meet people like you that you think would be a good fit. All right? So basically, don't introduce us to the jerks.
Yeah. All right, good.
Right?
Yeah.
And then let him talk. It's really important that you get him involved in this conversation.
Right. And so don't come across as a sales pitch.
No. Think of yourself as a family office group who is busy, but you've got a spot or two to let another person into the family office group. Who do you think would be a good fit?
Okay.
It's your confidence that will sell.
Yeah. And because that's the critical part here. But Sam, like I said, we've had him as a client, and before I don't know if I told you how I got him as a client from tennis.
How comfortable are you doing the planning that goes into a pre-IPO?
Wait, what was that again?
How comfortable are you doing the planning that goes into a pre-IPO?
You mean on a personal financial planning basis?
Yes.
Well, yeah, there would be, Rob, there would be a lot in terms of, you know, it'll depend on, you know, the valuation and the number of shares. And, again, a lot of that will be the restrictions involved around, you know, what they're able to sell throughout the IPO process. Usually there's a 6-month to 9-month lockup window for executives around an IPO.
Yeah, so I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about estate
planning, family planning, trust, other things that have to be in place before company goes public. Was he able to transfer any of those securities into other names before the stock goes public? Yeah, definitely. There's certainly, especially before those shares start trading at whatever valuation, to be able to move those shares outside of their estate. Again, a lot of it is going to revolve around the tax reform and certain things that are going to come out of that next year. But, yeah, there's certainly some big estate planning techniques that can be done. Now, I guess my only question to that would be, you know, do you bring an estate attorney, you know, a recommendation or a referral to the table early on in the process?
Well, you guys need to know that, and you got to be very familiar with what to do before the IPO.
All
right. That's what he needs. Your guy Sam needs that, and if you haven't
right.
done that, you better get on it, because that's what you pay for. Okay, that's what the you know the wealth management guy should be brilliant at. And if you guys are going to be in that circle, you got to.
Rob, it's interesting you brought that up. I wrote down on the side as kind of one of the things that I wanted to do a little bit more research in is, as you're most likely very familiar with, UBS is partnered with these boutique investment banks that specialize in certain, you know, types of businesses. I think we need to do a little bit of digging on our side to see, you know, what other cases have we really seen at UBS as a firm, you know, pre-IPO in a biotech company. I'm sure we've run a couple of them, you know, through the IPO process. And really get some insights, some white papers, some research, and really be those the people that can provide that insight and guidance. So that's a little bit of work on our end that we're going to have to do, just be as knowledgeable as we can.
Well, your guys, you know, typically, and as you know, when a company like this is public, the banker, he wants somebody that really knows how to, you know, is going to make him look good.
Yeah.
So it needs to get with the banker that's being used in this case so you don't get handed off to, you know, because, look, let's face it, the banker has a favorite financial advisor. It's probably a private wealth advisor that he's going to try and move this to.
Right.
Okay, and you have the CEO. So, I mean, if you haven't met him yet, that's a mistake. Right? You should know who he is, and you should have a relationship with him. He should be confident. But if you need to bring in a private wealth advisor to help you in this case, do it. Do it.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you could get 10 clients out of this.
Right.
Okay, the key is to win. You know, it isn't, you know, 100% of 0-0. You know, you'll still have Sam.
Right.
You may not get anybody else. So you better be prepared and know what to do. I mean, we did these deals, and there's a whole, list of suggestions that you make to these people so that they don't end up having all the shares in their name when the IPO comes out. Their intention is to move them to the kids. They should do it before the IPO, not after.
Right. And I'm not even sure at this point if they've selected a final banker. They were just going through all of that process. And I know...
This may be the critical moment.
Yeah.
Now, they like to have this iron wall between you guys and the bankers. But at least you can be introduced so you know who it is. You just don't want to be seen as, another... broker out there,
Right. So you're fighting with him. Okay. Those are good because, I guess because I think I hear you about partnering with a private wealth advisor if that's the case.
You need to. I mean, look. There's nothing wrong with that. He can introduce you to the next biotechnology opportunity and do it all over again because he's in a position to do that. You're in a gold mine here, okay? And you can leverage it. And Emily, this is where you can help too. I mean, you're into some politics here, so it's important.
Got it.
All right, good. Well, that's good. I like that stuff. So we got some work to do before next week.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Good. This is good stuff. We like this stuff. Okay. Number two. Again, a current client. He's got about $2 million with me for a number of years. He just recently, in the last year or two, retired from Johnson & Johnson. When I first met him, we did the financial planning. We did a lot of his stuff. Most of his stuff was obviously J&J stock, restricted stock, options, the whole deal. We actually talked to him about concentrated positions. We did a prepaid forward to hedge some of that. It was okay. It didn't really work out that well. J&J at the time was just sitting dead in the water. And then in the last, two or three years, 4 years, J&J just took off like a shot. So his net worth is probably $25 to $30 million. We have two of it. His liquid assets, Dave, what are his liquid assets, like 10, 12?
No, more than that. I think he's probably, liquid assets are probably around 15. I think we had a net worth north of like 25.
Right. So a lot of that is, he still has options to exercise, which he's going to be doing over the next 7 or 8 years. I mean, so he has a lot. And he's scattered, but he also shops very, he's always been like looking for lower fees, lower rates on his security line of credit. And this one other firm, it was Barclays, now it's Stifel. Because they took him over, they were been honoring these very, very low rates on SBLs, fees on management, blah, 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 blah. We have a good relationship with we know his family, but John is a tough negotiator. We met with him and his wife in August to give a proposal to move his IRA to... He has a lot of cash on the sideline from exercising options. We can't get him to move.
Have you done an updated financial plan?
Yes. We've done his financial plan since day one. And I can tell from, he's using us for the financial plan. We've never charged him for it.
How much do you charge him now?
On his assets, we're at 1% on his assets.
Well, he's challenging Steve.
Well, he's challenging. Well, on his assets, I mean, one of the biggest things was he always had a security line of credit, and they were always really undercutting us, like at 50 basis points, and we were always at, you know, 1 or 1.25 or something like that over LIBOR. And then on his assets, he only has some bonds, so he says he's only getting charged 50 basis points on that stuff.
50 basis points.
Yeah, but that's on bond portfolio. But we have, I mean, it seems like we've always done the right things by him. Initially, he was thinking that a lot of, you know, we had an active manager, so you know how active managers go through underperformance, outperformance. Right now, it's outperforming, but for a while, he was upset because it was underperforming because we had international in there. You know, he's, I don't know, his comparison is J&J, which is, you know, I said, John, you're very lucky into retirement. You know, J&J just took off like a shot, and that has covered up everything for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a
position at work. That's what you want.
Right. And he feels he's going to hold on to most of his J&J stock as legacy money because he just wants to collect a dividend. He gets a nice pension of like $350,000. He has options exercised for like $1 million for the next 7 or 8 years. He's doing very well, but it seems like we cannot get him to consolidate his assets here, and he's looking to consolidate somewhere.
Is he doing 1242?
He wouldn't want to do that. He couldn't commit because he was traveling around, you know, his travel schedule, and even now in retirement, he said he doesn't you know, want to do, so he's not a good. And I tell these guys, you know, he's not a good client. He doesn't want to participate in 1242.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to give up on him, but, you know, he's not a good client.
Have you ever gotten an introduction from him?
No, but I've introduced him to an accountant, and he's using the accountant. So it's like it's been one way.
He's a taker. He's a
taker. He's a taker. He's in good shape. You can try a few things. One is you can try and see if you can. I mean, one thing, the simple thing to do is to match it. Okay? See if you can match all in 70 basis points for everything that matches my work. Maybe we can help you probably get that money. We stand up on it. So you make a proposal for something that's very competitive. Okay? Yes, you're talking a lot of money. You know, you're talking more than $25 million you can negotiate. The private banking side of things, people are very aggressive. You know, they either are or they are people. So that's just the different, you know, that's why some people don't like to be in the world of, you know, $25 million and above. They don't like to compete in price.
Right.
So that's one thing you can do. The other thing to do, you know, so I would probably do that first. Because she would be flattered that you wanted this business. Even if she didn't take it, she'd be flattered that you were that aggressive. She's got an ego, clearly. And you're going to play to that ego. Okay?
Well, the thing is, you know, we've actually done a lot of work, and I know them socially also, and his wife really has a good relationship with me. We've actually, she's even come out a couple times when we've had meetings and says, oh, all I know is, you know, we trust Rick, and we, you know, all this stuff and that. All I know is if something happens, I'm just going to call Rick. So, and I'm sure John wanted to just smack her because, well, not smack her, but, you know, say, hey, I'm negotiating here, and she's, like, giving it away.
Okay, so here's what I would do. I would offer 1214 again as part of this presentation, and he says, no, that's too much, I don't want to do it. And just explain again that it's educational, and wouldn't it make sense then, if you don't want this, that I do this, you know, I'll talk to you quarterly, but the other 8 calls, I'll talk to Jen, whatever her name is.
Right.
Okay? And in those, and here's our 24-month calendar, Jen, okay? Hand it to her, and these are the topics we're going to cover in these 24 months. Now you're really, think about what that would do, right? She's going to go, what the hell's on those topics, you know? Well, I'm sorry, Roger, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to Jen. Okay? Okay, and you hand it to her and say, you know, I'd be calling you about these things, how does that sound? And she goes, oh, that would be awesome. So now he's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So you divide and conquer, okay? So seriously, I would do that. And then you call her, and now you've got a great relationship with her. And he's going to try and butt in and try and build a relationship of God with you.
Right.
It's a risky thing to do, but at this point, it sounds right to me like you're halfway writing him off anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's, we know he has other ideas.
Yeah, so you flatter him by negotiating, and then you flatter her by educating. And guess what? It's actually really important that she be educated.
Yeah.
Because she's already said that, guess what? If you're not here, I'm going to Rick.
Right.
That's a pretty good put. You know what?
Right.
It's not a bad put for you to have. Okay?
Right.
And guess, you know, when mama's happy, everybody's happy. And if she's not happy, you know.
Yeah, my question, Rick, is he the type of guy that at this kind of asset level would enjoy going up and meeting with a bride hall or a narrator? Like, is he an intellectual type? Like,
we've already had him up to, we met with the financial planning guy, with what's his name, Scarpelli?
Yeah, Rick Stark.
We had him and his wife up to 1285. We did a private
briefing
with them, but we didn't go through all the other capabilities. It was just really the financial planning to get ready before he retired.
Got it.
And so, why, you know, dined him up there. You know, they really had a good. They loved it. But he just thought, you know, he's a taker. He doesn't want to move forward.
Yeah.
He's always had somebody else. He keeps some of his, you know, stock at Fidelity because, you know, they don't charge him for stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. It's okay. Don't charge him for his Johnson & Johnson stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. Look, this guy's a negotiator. He wants
yes.
to pay, okay? He's not going to be ready. He's not going to be ready for you to pay attention to his wife.
But no, that's because that's what his job was at J&J. I mean, he was the president of one of the international. He has a career at J&J, so he's tough.
But, I mean, he's going to like this. He's going to like the game you're playing.
All right. So we got to make it a game.
Yeah, you got to make it a game. He's going to see it, and he's going to go, this guy's smart. he just did something I'm not expecting, okay?
Well, Rob, I mean, like that is. His, I'll tell you what else we...
The last thing you do is you ask him together what it is that you value from this relationship. And he's going to want to say nothing.
Right.
She's going to say, she's going to go, oh, this, this, and this, and this, and this,
right,
and this. Okay? So ask it of him, and then ask it of her. Don't
right.
ask them together. Ask it of him, ask it of her. Okay?
Right.
And then, then you need to hammer him for an introduction. I mean, you play this at the end. I got to be there to know how it's going at this point. Right? But you've got nothing to lose to ask for an introduction.
Yeah.
And if you can get a good introduction, I mean, what if he can introduce you to five people? Then you don't care if you keep 2 million, right?
Right.
He becomes a center business. And he's a conscious ego guy. He'll be flattered. And he'll want to do it. Just to prove he can do it.
Right.
He can control other people to come to you.
Yeah.
Okay?
So here's another one I thought we were clinching it with. His wife is a big Broadway, because he lives half a year in Arizona and half a year in the East Coast now. So his wife is a big Broadway, so she went to a couple shows. And as it turns out, one of my client's sons is the lead in this one show, Dear Evan Hansen. So I was able to get them backstage, meet and greet with everybody, and they were like freaking out and loving it. And so you could tell I'm in with his wife, obviously.
The same person. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I think you got to play it. Okay.
All right. I love it.
Yeah. This is stuff. This big people, it's not always the straight one.
Well, good. This is helpful. So you're right. I mean, the tack that we've been taking obviously is not getting us anywhere.
Right. So you got to get an appointment with the two of them. That's the key.
All right. Good. Well, those are the next two, Rob, that we're going to report back to you on. But Sam is, we're meeting with Sam next Wednesday, so we'll have something for you on that one on our next call.
Now, let me tell you something. If you can't get an appointment with the two of them because he's being a jerk,
yeah,
then I would definitely slam him for referrals.
All right.
Okay.
That's after first being very aggressive on the pricing.
No, I mean, if you want to, the first thing to do is to do what I just told you. Do the whole thing.
Right.
Be careful with it. Be aggressive with it. Say, look, we're prepared to put together an aggressive portfolio, an aggressive opportunity for you. We'd like to really earn your business here. And so, get the appointment. Do the proposal. Do just what I told you. And then, great. You play it at the end the way you think. If it's turning out great, then terrific. He's up on the opportunities for introductions. But if you can't get the appointment and he's being a jerk, then go right into the introductions. Hammer. Because you got nothing to lose at this point.
Right. Yeah.
But he can give you fabulous introductions.
Yeah.
And he may just do that because his wife likes you and he wants to keep you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your fail safe.
All right, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, that's your fallback college.
So, anyway, these are good, and these are, I think, I mean, I value this type of call, Rob, too, in addition to the, going over the supernova stuff, which we are following in the book, and that anyway.
Well, just one up-to-date on the chapter is really the folders and what goes in the folders.
Right.
Next week, we cover the 24-month calendar. What we've done to adjust. So, the key thing is to focus on what we do differently from what other people do, right? So, we give them the folder, we give them 12-4-2, we give them an agenda, we give them an executive summary from each call.
Right.
That makes us very different. the other thing that we do is that we're doing now is we're including the 24-month calendar in the folder. We first give it to them.
Right.
So what you want to do where you have folders outstanding is send them the 24-month calendar. It'll force you to do it, to stay organized. It's just like 1242 gets you organized. This will get you organized in your monthly work. So you're actually organized for the whole year. You know, and if I tell people in the fog of war, you're going to adjust. Sometimes there may be a crisis that comes up, and so you're not going to be able to cover long-term care. But
right.
Otherwise, you stick with the calendar. This is working. People love it.
Good.
It's just like when you hand that calendar to the wife. I mean, people are impressed that you're organized for the next 2 years. Yes.
Yeah. Perfect.
But these are not sales calls. These are educational pieces.
Right. All right, I love it, but Rob, it's been very good, and like I said, I think what Dave was saying early on is that, you know, the momentum and having those, it's just like, you know, playing tennis, you know, you win the first set, you know, you just want to get right back out there and just keep it up.
Well, you guys are very good, so keep practicing role playing this case, okay? Get people in role playing, and each take different parts, and then Rick, you have Dave come in more and more into the presentation.
Yeah.
So he gets his confidence up.
Well, Dave's already. I have him in. He's. I have him in all the. You know, we're doing this as a double team already.
I love it. Yep.
Great. Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful.
Because he's ready for it. He's ready for the challenge. So.
And he's not afraid to ask, Rob.
That's why it's good. It's a good fit.
Yeah, I think it's great. You're going to get more and more of his calendar and you fill his calendar, too. Which is good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks. We'll give you next win.
Yeah. And Emily,
thanks, Rob.
Thanks for coming on the call. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.